My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. MashaAllah, I can see you've been well taught by Sheikh Hussein. Brothers and sisters, life is a journey. Life is a journey. It's an analogy. It's a descriptive term that is used by many different people, in many different cultures, in many different societies about life. That life is a journey. And no doubt, we are all born into this world and we pass through different stages and we all are reaching a destination which nobody disagrees about. There is one destination which no human being, or at least a sane or an intelligible human being, disagrees about, that we are all reaching a destination, and that destination is death. So there is no doubt that all of us, Muslim, non-Muslim, rich and poor, whatever country or language or tribe or section of society we may belong to, all of us are going through this journey, and this journey will end for all of us, and this is something we all agree about, in our death. And no one knows when is this moment of death. The old die and the young die. The rich die and the poor die. The educated die and the illiterate die. Everyone dies. Every soul will most certainly taste death. And no one is going to escape death. No one is going to escape it, brothers and sisters. The wise person is the one who reflects on this. But the controversy, the disagreement, is not about the reality of death. And the disagreement is not about life being a journey. The disagreement is about what happens next. What happens after death? This is the disagreement. For some, there is nothing. The atheist claims that death is the end of everything. For Hindus and for Buddhists, life is an endless cycle of birth and rebirth. That when we die, we are reincarnated. And according to this idea, the things you do in this life affect how you are reincarnated in the next. In Hinduism, you must follow the Dharma, the way, the natural order of things as Hinduism interprets it. Which according to, you could say, if there is such a thing as Hindu orthodoxy, which is questionable anyway, you must follow exactly the system or the caste system into which you have been born. And if you follow it correctly and you submit to it and you adhere to this natural order, and you avoid bad karma, you avoid doing bad things that will affect your next reincarnated life, then you will be reincarnated as a superior being. So if you are from the very lower classes, you will move up a class, and so on and so on and so forth. And the ultimate is to reach a type of divine status. Not divine in the sense of we understand as Muslims Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, because the concept of the divine is very different. In Hinduism, generally, the whole universe is God. Everything is God. You are God, I am God, the stage is God, the animals are God, the trees are God, everything is God. But you reach a certain level of transcendence and you transcend your mortality. So this is the final stage. So also in Hinduism, most certainly life is a journey. And what you do in this life is going to affect your next life and your next life and your next life. And if you do bad, of course, then you will go backwards, you will go down. Now there is a fundamental problem with this philosophy. And Buddhists also have a similar idea, except Buddhists do not believe that you need to adhere to the caste system in order to be able to reach some goodness in the reincarnated life. In fact, they believe whatever your caste, whatever your level in society, whoever you are, you could reach enlightenment in this life. Nirvana. It actually means annihilation. And you reach this also type of state of divinity in a sense. But both Buddhism and Hinduism suffer from a logical flaw. The logical flaw is, how do you progress upwards if you are an ant, or a cow, or a sheep, or a dog, or a snake, or a rat? Since the people I have spoken to and discussed this with agree that animals do not have rational choice. They do not distinguish between good and evil and right and wrong. So if they can't distinguish between good and evil and right and wrong, how can they progress upwards? How do you choose to be a good dog or a good rat or a good flower? How? It doesn't mean anything. And since there is no means to do that, there is no means to progress from the lower forms to the higher forms, which calls into question the whole idea of reincarnation, that you can progress through these levels.
Asim Al-Hakim.
Everyone is looking for peace. And the most precious thing one could look for is the peace of mind. For that, there is only one way, but there's no highway. Join us.
Mind Your Soul, every Tuesday at 10:30 p.m. Saudi Arabia and 11:30 p.m. UAE on Peace TV. Productive conversations.
Presenting Islam in the form of social service.
Unlike all the leaders of the world, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was different.
Progressive opinions.
Prove to the people the precision of the glorious Quran in every aspect.
Doing something good for not only for our people but for the community.
Prolific suggestions.
Just live your life as a true Muslim.
It's never too late to start again.
One of the keys to success is to individualize what is success for you.
Fruitful proposals and applicable ideas on several subjects of everyday life. In the Company of Scholars, every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Saudi Arabia and 7:30 p.m. UAE on Peace TV. Islamic International School presents Determination, Motivation and Spirituality.
The most valuable thing in your life is Iman.
Revive History for Soul Purification.
The true peace of the soul, the true peace and the tranquility.
Meet the revolutionary dais of the era.
My respected elders
and my dear brothers and sisters,
I welcome all of you.
I welcome all of you.
I welcome all of you.
I welcome all of you with the Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Watch Dais of the Islamic International School in Next Generation every Friday at 5:30 p.m. Saudi Arabia and 6:30 p.m. in UAE on Peace TV.
My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, look at the story in the Quran as an example, whether you believe it or not. Of course, as Muslims, we believe this is true. It's not a story, it's history. It's part of our human history. But for those who are not Muslim, understand a conceptual angle. Think about the concept that is important here. The story of two of the sons of Adam. Traditionally in the Bible, it's called Cain and Abel. In fact, the Quran does not contain their names. The name is not important, but there were two sons of Adam. One of them made an offering to God, and it was accepted. And God was pleased with that person's offering, that son of Adam's offering. And the other one also made an offering, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not accept it and was not pleased with it. So out of jealousy, the one whose offering was not accepted killed his brother. Murdered his brother. And this was the first murder that ever took place in human history. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the worst of the two sons of Adam has a share in every single murder that took place since then. Since he initiated and he began murder, every single murder is an imitation of that. And because it is an imitation of it, he gets part of the punishment of every murder. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said: whoever initiates an evil deed, they will get the punishment of whoever follows that evil deed, without those people's punishment being diminished in the least. So if I encourage you to do something evil, I will get punished for all of your sin, and you will get punished for your sin as well. Think about that, brothers and sisters. Think about that as we talk about our journey to Allah. Think about the consequences of your actions. Think that there are things that you can do and that you can say, and you may not even understand how terrible it is, but because of it, Allah sinks you to the deepest part of the hellfire. Because maybe you initiated an evil, and from that evil, thousands, millions of people may follow you in misguidance, and you will have to take the responsibility of that on the Day of Judgment. How does that work in the system of reincarnation? How do we account for that in karma? Since the effect of deeds can only be realized in reality when the whole of human history has finished. And the opposite way as well. If you encourage people to do a good deed, if you encourage people to do good, then the people who follow you in that good, you will get rewarded for encouraging them. Every good deed they do, you will get the benefit from it, without their reward being diminished. They will get their reward, but you will get rewarded from that as well. So these are some of the ideas concerning the journey that is life. But we believe as Muslims that we are on a journey to Allah. Death is not the final destination. Death is not the end of the journey. No, indeed, in reality, this life is only the opportunity in order to gather the provision that we need in order to reach the desired destination. And the desired destination is to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be entered into His paradise and to be able to look upon the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the most beautiful thing in paradise. More beautiful than the food and the drink, more beautiful than the Hur al-Ain, more beautiful than the streams of milk and wine and honey. The most beautiful thing for the people in Jannah will be that they will be able to look upon the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, my brothers and sisters, is the true destination. That is the true journey. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, what do I have to do? What do I have to do with the life of this world? I am like a traveler on a journey who takes rest underneath the shade of a tree and then continues on his journey. What a beautiful hadith. Very important saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's repeat it again. What do I have to do? Meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, why should I be concerned with the life of this world? Why do I need to be concerned with accumulating wealth and prestige and children and goods and possessions? What need do I have for this world and the life of this world? And then he gives this description, a description that applies to all of us. I am like a traveler. And you know, brothers and sisters, I want us to imagine how traveling was in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Traveling was very hard. Journeying was very difficult. And those journeys, especially you can imagine, through the desert, no food, no water, maybe traveling for weeks on end. So this is the type of journey we should imagine. A journey on camels, a journey on horses. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gives the example, the life of this world. What is the life of this world like? Our time on this earth is like when you are on a long journey, you stop and you take rest underneath the shade of a tree. That's it. That's our life. It's like taking a rest underneath the shade of the tree. Then you get up and you continue your journey. Our life, our existence, the soul of the human being, and I don't mean just your bodily existence in this earth, the existence of our souls, the whole journey of our entire existence, which is not the life of this world. The life of this world, our stay on this planet, is like being on a long journey and you just take rest underneath the shade of the tree and you continue on your journey. So let's imagine this subject of the journey. Let us imagine this subject of the journey. Why do you take rest underneath the shade of a tree? You're on a long journey, 1 week, 2 weeks. You're traveling from A to B. Brothers and sisters, if you think about it, you need to take that rest. You need to sit underneath the shade of a tree. Imagine you're traveling for 2 weeks non-stop and you don't take any rest. Think about it. What would happen to you? I think after 3 days of sitting on your camel or on your horse, eventually you'd fall asleep and then maybe you'd fall off and your horse or your camel would keep going. You'd be left there. You'd be like that hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where he described the man who gets off his camel and he goes to sleep. He wakes up in the morning and his camel is gone. And he's in the desert. So he realizes he's gonna die. He can't survive without his camel, which has all the provisions, which has all the means that he needs in order to reach his destination. It has the food, it has the clothes, it has the water. He needs the transport. He can't make it on his own. And he realizes, so literally he lies down in order to die. And then he wakes up and he finds his camel right next to him. So he jumps up with joy. He's so happy, he jumps up and he says, oh Allah, you are my servant and I am your Lord. And he only gets mixed up because he's so excited. He's so excited, he mixes his words up. He says, Allah is the servant, astaghfirullah, and you are my Lord. But he means to say, oh Allah, you are my Lord and I am your servant. But he gets mixed up because he's so excited. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah is more pleased with the repentance, with the tawbah, with the istighfar, with you seeking forgiveness for your sins. Allah is more pleased with the repentance of his slave when he commits sins than this man is finding his camel. Can you imagine how pleased Allah is when we commit sins and then we ask him and beg him and plead with him to forgive us our sins and we return to him in repentance and we change our ways? Allah is more pleased than this man is from finding his camel. And you can imagine how pleased that man is gonna be.